All right, well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we are in a service called After Your Money, right? And that's what, you know, many churches or many people believe churches are, is after their money. So Josh spoke the first few weeks, part one of the series about picking up the check, how the burden of paying for the ministries, supporting the ministries of a local church really falls upon the members of that church. And how, you know, we are expected to kind of pick that up, and we cheerfully want to do that. And then last week, he talked about, you know, tithing, and how that tithing, you know, really is an aspect of giving 10% of your income. And he had his little, you know, different signs up here for give, save, live, and then that aspect of non-essentials. And I would encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to hear either of those messages, to go back on. They are both available on our website, hopeccdelco.com. So this week in part three, we have a few people that have volunteered to get up and share why they tithe or why they choose to tithe. And again, that idea of giving of that 10%. And that's always a goal, right? There are many people in here who might not be quite giving 10% yet. And because you're working towards that, right? It is stepping out in faith. And so I think you're going to hear some of that today from these people. All right, so this morning, we're going to start with Brett, who is going to share a little bit about, you know, why he and Joy choose to tithe. And then after Brett, Lori Droxler is going to come up. And then at the end, Karen and I will get up and share as well. All right, so at this time, we'll ask Brett to come on over and share.
Thank you, Josh. Hey, good morning again, everybody. All right, so tithing. Everybody's favorite topic is money. And we know it's not the easiest thing to talk about. It's also not the easiest thing to manage, you know, because say more money, more problems, right? But all right, so let's get down to it. Why do Joy and I tithe? It's because we're the best Christians. No, just kidding. It's not. It has nothing to do with being a good Christian. It has nothing to do with being like better than anybody else. First and foremost, we tithe because we're members of this church, and Josh always says, you know, visitors and guests don't feel obligated to put anything in the offertory boxes. It's the members who are part of this church, and I believe in the mission of this church, and by tithing, we can help all the people that God has called to either serve as pastors or missionaries, this all of the ministry personnel that we have here, to faithfully build up the church and to ultimately expand the kingdom of God to our neighbors in the area. You know, there are many ways to worship God, and tithing is just one of the many ways. And another reason is just for anybody who tithes, I think we can all agree that one reason we give is to simply honor Him as our provider. Also to remind ourselves that everything was created by Him, ultimately belongs to Him, and are gracefully provided to me through His love and grace. And Josh mentions tithing 10%, right? Tithing 10% of your income is biblical. And if you want to look at Numbers 18, it talks about how it all started with the Levites and stuff. But you're not required to tithe to be a Christian, right? Being a Christian is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, boom, you're a Christian. And you're not, as I joked before, but you are not a bad Christian if you don't tithe, okay? Thankfully, God loves us, and when we give or when we don't give, He still loves us. His love is never failing, it's never ending, it's infinite. And that's the ultimate key also. We don't have to tithe to earn God's love because we already have it. So if you're worried about that, you're good. Now, it's also important to mention that you can not just tithe with money, right? You can also tithe by giving your talents, your abilities, through service to your church and your community. Okay, you don't have to always just write a check and just throw money at it. Sometimes the church just needs people. We need bodies to help out and run things because, you know, We do a lot of community events, and the more people, the bigger it can be, the better it can be. On a more personal note, by why I tithe, it just is a regular reminder for me that I am dependent on God. Because he is the source of all the blessings. It allows me to demonstrate gratitude for his provision. It helps me to remember God's faithfulness, and it enables me to show trust in God to provide for all of our current and future needs. By our, I mean Joy and I, Jaden, my whole family, not just the church, too. So, that's really all I have to say about the tithing thing. So in closing, at least for me, Joy and I tithe because we believe in the mission of this church, but in the end, it's all about trusting in God and putting him first with everything, the first fruits, as it said in the Old Testament. So thank you for listening to my testimony on tithing, and now it is time for Lori Draxler.
You will not be getting the same introduction, Josh, because I can't sing. So my family and I, for those of you that don't know me, but mostly everyone does, have been coming to Hope for 11 years. And while I attended various churches before this, and I did tithe, I never tithe 10%. I donated what I thought was my time, and that was enough. And some of the reasons why I didn't when I was in early on in my walk of faith is because I didn't know where my money was going. I felt scared to give my money away. What if I needed it? But the truth was I wasted a lot of money on non-essentials. But I always admire people who fully trusted the Lord. And sometimes that's really difficult, even today in my walk of faith and where I'm at. Sometimes it is difficult to really trust that the Lord has this and he's going to provide. So how did my tithing change? Actually, one day, Karen Peterkin gave a testimony on tithing. And it was one of the most impactful testimonies that I ever heard. And I don't want to get into their story because I don't know what they're going to say this morning, but they actually tithe on the amount of before their taxes get taken out. And that was like mind-blowing for me. But I thought, if they can trust the Lord, why can't I? And so started my journey in giving the first 10% to this church. But I believe in what this church is doing. I believe in the ministry. I have seen that this really is a community church, and if people are in need, I've seen what this church does for people, whether they're part of this church or not. So I also want to share two stories. One story is about, so when we talk about not knowing where your money goes, we raise money for Samaritan's Purse trip. And there was money left over. And so I went to Pastor Josh, and I was like, why not give the money for the Kenya trip? And he said to me, that's not what the people gave their money for. Like, we can't do that. They're trusting us with their money, and they gave it towards Samaritan's Purse. So we'll give the rest of that money to that organization. And that, to me, just stood out to be like, who would have known that, right? Who would have known or that... I didn't know that. I just assumed you could just take that money and throw it over there. So that was like a big deal for me. And then when my mom was sick and she knew that she was going to go home and be with the Lord, she decided she wanted money to come to Hope Community Church. And so created the Deb Spicer Fund, and she decided that she wanted money to be given in her memory, and that that money would go towards people in the community that have had to deal with cancer, because that's what my mom had. And every time someone was in need, they always asked my family, like, what we wanted to, like, the direction of that money. Like, they just didn't give it freely. They would, you know, we would talk about it. And then we finally gave the last of the money away last year. This probably sounds dumb, but We gave the money away last year, the last amount of it, and I'm on the committee so I can see the budget, and it made me sad to think I'm not going to see my mom's name on there anymore. But Josh leaves a dollar in there for the fund so I could see my mom's name. So I love that anyway, to get to see that. But I was watching, because when Josh is away, Andy Stanley and I hang out, and I know he knows that. He gets a little jealous sometimes, but I was watching one of his episodes about tithing, and so from his words, he says, it's no longer about the 10%. It's about living your life generously. Becoming more generous requires a level of discipline, and we need to develop practices in our lives to train us to be more open-handed and charitable with our finances. You can't earn your way to heaven by giving, but it is a biblical principle. It is listed in the Bible roughly about 14 times. But for me and for my husband, we understand what a truly remarkable gift God has given us when he gave his only son on the cross to die for us. So we will expend our energy, our finances, and our time in giving back. That's it. And by the way, I didn't cry. How about that one? And here's Josh and Karen Peterkin.
Thank you, Lori. And thank you, Brett. All right. So our needs have always been met. When Karen and I sit here and when we talked about, hey, do we want to both share? Do we want to share individually? How do we want to do this? You know, the one thing that came to mind to both of us is that our needs have always been met. And I think that is a theme you've kind of heard through all three testimonies here. So we'll just give you a quick little backstory. Karen and I, you know, before Karen and I started tithing together, I actually, you know, having grown up in a church, I always kind of tithe, you know, so even like in middle school and high school when I had a part-time job, you know, it was important to me because I knew that we were called to do it. I don't know that I necessarily knew exactly why at that age. I just kind of knew like, well, you're supposed to give 10% things. So, you know, I did that, not really knowing exactly what I was doing. Certainly over the years, as I've developed in my faith, I've been a part of this church and things like that, I have a better understanding of why we are called to tithe. So Karen and I started tithing together when we got married back in 2004, and for the last 20 years, we've had our ups and downs, including very challenging financial seasons, like we all have, I'm sure. But we've remained committed to tithing 10%, and we were convicted early on in our commitment to tithe not off of the net income, that amount that the paychecks receive after all of the government takes its taxes and our retirement and college savings. Kids are expensive, aren't they? College savings get deducted from our earnings. But we instead decided to tithe off the gross. And as you heard, you know, Lori talk about, that was something that, you know, was important to us. And that was a decision that we made a few years into our marriage. God provides the gross, and it is not responsible for all those other deductions, right? So we've committed to giving him back that one-tenth or that those first fruits. When we started tithing in 2004 together, it was with two full-time salaries, a modest home bought with one income, and no kids. During our second year of marriage, we welcomed our firstborn, Owen, and we went down to one full-time salary so that Karen could stay home with our kids, which was, you know, a goal that we had. Even in decreasing our income by 50%, we remained committed to tithing. Fast forward a few more years, we added a few more kids. Charlotte, Eliza, thanks for joining us. That was God's blessing. And in 2013, we moved to a larger home, which increased our financial responsibilities, but we remained committed to tithing. It would have been easy during that season to say we needed to provide first for the increased bills that we had on our increased home, increased taxes, increased utilities, all the other things that come with owning a home, but we remained committed to tithing off of that 10%.
For the past 20 years, we've gained income and we've lost income, but we've always remained committed to tithing. The Lord has continued to bless us as God invites us in Malachi 3 to test him in this. The NASB version says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and put me to the test now in this, says the Lord of armies. If I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. The blessing for us has been that our financial needs have always been met. Yes, it does come with sacrifice. We can't travel to all the national parks like we'd like to. We can't provide all the experiences for our kids that we'd like to. We can't spend a lot of money on non-essentials like maybe we'd like to with electronics or clothes or upgrading furniture in our home or even weekly Starbucks or boba tea runs. But God has always faithfully provided for our needs in seasons of plenty and seasons of uncertainty and want.
So while we stand up here and it sounds like, oh, we've got it all together, please know that, you know, this doesn't come without hardship, right? While we have been committed to the full tithe, one area that I struggle with is in the area of comparison, right? And I think, you know, if we're honest, I think a lot of people do, right? Envy, jealousy. So I do want to give my family the best. I do want to be able to travel and have experiences with my family. I want to help my kids with their college tuition. And so there are times when I let that envy and jealousy creep in and tell me, you know what, if only I would not give, or maybe don't give that 10%, make it 5%. Like, let's cut it down a little bit. If you do that, hey, guess what? You can buy that new car. You can help your kids a little bit more. You can go on that trip, right? However, I'm reminded that God has and continues to provide for our every need. And so even though those feelings do creep in, and I'm just as susceptible to them, we have remained committed. So we're called not to build up treasures here on earth, but beyond this life in heaven.
I have been honest with anyone who has asked. I have had moments where I've had doubts, fears, and chronic what-ifs scenarios over a tithing journey. What if our savings is depleted? Well, it has been almost several times. What if something goes wrong with our house, our appliances, our car, or our health, and we need extra income for an unforeseen emergency? In those seasons and moments, I have made and must continue to make the decision to ultimately trust God. But in those moments, I have also had to trust Joshua with the checkbook and writing the check. It's easier for Josh to write the check than it is for me. Yes, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, as Scripture says, but we believe that the Lord also loves a committed, disciplined giver who isn't led astray by the feelings or worries of the moment and seasons of life. The irony of me admitting all of this is that for over 10 years now, I've been on staff part-time at our church. I get paid out of the regular giving and the tithing of the members of this church. So our family thanks you and is so grateful for the contribution to our family's income.
So that's our story. And so now I'm going to kind of take off my personal hat of tithing, and I'm going to step into the role as a treasurer. I'm going to speak a little bit to you as your, you know, church treasurer. I've had this role for a while now, and most of you know that I'm the church treasurer. Maybe some don't. So let me just talk a little bit about this aspect from, you know, our church financial position. So as the treasurer for the past 12 years, I have seen time and again how God has provided for our every, every need. I can't read that. I'm sorry. I wrote that in by my hand. Over the first several years, we had a modest budget, but God provided all we needed and more. We often used the excess funds to support local missions as well as the missionaries that we had committed to supporting. When God provided us this space over 4 years ago, our modest budget grew quite a bit more. We had a lot more we had to cover, right? All the new and fun expenses that go along with caring for and maintaining not just this property, but the property next door. So we have two historic properties that we had to now maintain. Even though it might not appear that way, through the financial commitment of our church members, we have improved the spaces quite a bit in the last 4 years. We have invested in upgrades to plumbing, electrical, heating and cooling, both here at the church as well as over at Hope House. The biggest improvement was a new roof that was installed over 2 years ago, and again through the generous contributions and trust of many church members at that time. Looking around, there is much more that we would like to do with this space, but in order to do that, we need to not only provide for our yearly needs, we need to raise additional funds to be able to complete those projects. And we have seen God raise up members throughout our 12 years, and we are confident that when the time is right and we're ready to maintain or start these projects, he will do so again. Over the past few years, while God has continued to provide for us as a church, we have not necessarily seen the same excess that we once did. However, we have remained faithful as a church to staying true to one of our core tenets. Like kind of, and Lori kind of talked about this a little bit in her testimony a few minutes ago. One of the ways that we as a church have stepped out in faith since our very earliest days is that we give away every single year both our Easter and our Christmas Eve offerings. And while many churches might see these as additional funds, because let's be honest, a lot of times, when do people come out to church? If they don't go to church throughout, you know, consistently, a lot of people show up around Easter time and around Christmas time. They usually get a little bit more funds coming in during those times. So while many churches might see these as additional funds year after year, we have actually built our budget knowing that we need to cover all of our yearly expenses through whatever is raised through the course of 50 Sundays, not 52. Right, so we have 50 Sundays that we do this for because we also look at, hey, there might be a Sunday where some kind of emergency happens. We've had a couple times where we've canceled a Sunday service due to inclement weather, whatever it is. So we always build our budget knowing that we're going to cover the cost. Actually, we're not going to cover the cost. God's going to cover the cost through what is provided over 50 Sundays. That has enabled us to use our Easter Sunday offering in a myriad of ways. Most of the time over the last few years, you know about our Kenya missionaries, and those funds have actually gone to support our mission team members as they're raising their funds to be able to go on those travels. Before that, or some other times, we went on Samaritan's Purse trips, and so we've, you know, supported missionaries that are going to those places. And, you know, in 2020, when we were dealing with the pandemic and nobody was going on any missions trips, we actually used all those funds and, again, didn't hold them for ourselves. We actually put them in a separate fund in our budget that was basically for local support, you know, local support needs. And there were many people over the time who maybe something came in, a bill couldn't be paid, or you know, something with a car, whatever it was, people reached out and we were able to find ways to support them in big and small ways. Similarly, we have used the funds donated through our Christmas Eve offerings to support many local ministries. Over the years, we've supported Loaves and Fishes, City Team, the Blessing Bags Program, Grand Stepping Up, and more. If you saw the offering update in the bulletin today or over the last several months, you will notice that we are still currently in the red in 2024. It would be so much easier to say, let's just make up that difference. Let's not give away Easter. Let's not give away Christmas Eve. Right? Instead, let's make sure that our bottom line looks healthy. Right? It'd be so much easier to do that. I'm confident, however, that God will continue to provide, which is why we do give those away. And why, as Lori said, even when funds are donated to certain ministries, we make sure that they go to those ministries. So does that mean that we will end the year in black? I don't know. Time will tell. But what I can say, again, having been the treasurer here for over 12 years, is that God has always and will continue to provide for our every need. And so as we kind of close this time up, I would challenge each of you to prayerfully consider what God is calling you to give. As Pastor Josh has said over the first 2 weeks of the series, for those of us that call ourselves members of Hope Community Church, the burden of financing our staff, maintaining this space, and providing for all the various ministries does fall on our shoulders. You know, from the scripture that Walt read this morning, just bringing out a few, you know, few pieces here, each one of us must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So again, no one's, you know, we're not under compulsion to do this, right? So I hope that you have taken something away from this. As we said, this, you know, tithing is a journey, just like every other aspect of your Christian walk. It is a journey, right? And so if you're on this journey, if you have questions, feel free to talk to anybody who has shared this morning. We'll be happy to talk to you about our struggles and about how God has continued to bless us. But we also know that God will continue to provide for our church. And we're thankful, you know, for all that our church family does week in and week out, not only through the financial gifts, but again, we have people that are back serving in our children's church, back serving, you know, in our nursery, right? We are grateful for those people. God raises up people to lead our different ministries, and so we're thankful for that time as well. All right. Well, that's it for this morning. Let us close us out in some prayer. Lord, we thank you so very much for this time together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share from some of our members here about tithing and what that means to us and why it's important to us. Lord, and we thank you for the ways that you have used these funds, you know, over the last 12 plus years. We have done so many amazing things in our local community, as well as in different parts of the United States and all the way across over in Kenya. And so we're grateful for the ways that we've been able to, you know, serve locally and serve, you know, internationally. Lord, I pray over us now as we continue to seek after you, and, you know, we, you know, maybe feel that challenge of what are you calling us to do with our tithe? Lord, I just pray that you will continue to raise up leaders in this church and people that know that you are calling them to great things. And so as we leave here today, we just pray protection over us all. Help us to have a wonderful week. Continue to serve you, to minister to those in our lives. In your precious name, amen.